Chapter 1. The Early Days. In the beginning was the Word. John, chapter 1, verse 1. One does not know what a day might bring forth. Little did two Christian traveling men realize in September 1898, as they started their day of work, that before that day was over, they would meet under rather unusual circumstances, and as a result of that meeting, God would lead them to bring into being an association of Christian laymen whose activities now extend not only to the United States and Canada, but to more than 40 countries all over the world. On the evening of that September 14, 1898, John H. Nicholson of Janesville, Wisconsin, entered the Central Hotel of Bosco Bell, Wisconsin, for the night. The hotel was crowded to the limit. The landlord, John Church, was in a dilemma as to how to take care of his longtime friend, but finally, as related by John Nicholson in a written article, said, "Just a moment, Nick. We have a man with us tonight by the name of Sam Hill. A good clean fellow, and if congenial with you, I have a room with two beds, number 19, which you can both occupy." And so he took me over to where Mr. Hill was engaged in writing and introduced me to him. Mr. Samuel E. Hill of Beloit, Wisconsin, agreed to the suggestion, and so God brought together that night these two Christian men. When they were ready to retire, Mr. Nicholson took from his suitcase a Bible and said, "Before I retire, I always read from God's Word and have a little talk with Him." Mr. Hill joined in devotions, and Mr. Nicholson relates that he read the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. After kneeling in prayer, they both rolled into bed. Then they lay and talked until a late hour about starting a Christian traveling men's association, and agreed what a wonderful blessing and help it would be if Christian traveling men could know one another and have a fellowship together. But when they parted the next morning, they had done nothing definite about carrying out what they had discussed at length that night. So like most of us, we often talk about good things but fail to do anything about them. However, God was still leading these two men. On May 31st, 1899, they had an eventful meeting in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. On that morning, as Mr. Nicholson was on his way to call on a customer, he met Mr. Hill on the street as Mr. Hill was on his way to the railway station, having finished his business in that town. Needless to say, they talked about the night they had spent together in Bosco Bell. They decided to go ahead with their plans. They also decided to meet at 2 p.m. Saturday, July 1, 1899 in the YMCA at Janesville, Wisconsin. In the meantime, they were to invite other Christian traveling men to meet with them. On July 1, 1899, only three were present: Mr. Samuel E. Hill, Mr. John H. Nicholson, and Mr. William J. Knights. Not discouraged by the small attendance, the meeting was opened with prayer to God to lead and guide. The association was organized and the following officers were elected: President Samuel E. Hill, Vice President William J. Knights, Secretary and Treasurer John H. Nicholson. Then the question of a name was considered. They could not agree on a suitable name, but they knew where they could get the answer. They knelt in prayer, and after a few minutes, Mr. Knights rose to his feet and said, "Gideons." Mr. Knights then read the 6th and 7th chapters of Judges, showing his reason for suggesting the name Gideons. Gideon being a man who was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do, irrespective of his own judgment as to plans or results. The first business meeting after the organization of the association was held at Waukesha, Wisconsin, in the parlor of the YMCA, Friday, September 1st, 1899. Those present: S. E. Hill, W. J. Knights, J. H. Nicholson, C. P. Kittredge, W. J. Ennis, H. D. North, and Reverend M. B. Byrd. At this meeting, it was thought that an emblem should be adopted so that Gideons could easily recognize one another. Mr. W. J. Ennis proposed that the emblem should suggest the weapons Gideon's 300 men used in their first battle. Mr. Ennis drew a design of a button and mentioned the colors. A white pitcher on a blue background with a red flame protruding from the opening of the pitcher. At this meeting, September 1st, 1899, 12 Gideons were declared to be charter members. The charter members, all from Wisconsin, as listed by John H. Nicholson, were S. E. Hill, Beloit, W. J. Knights, Janesville, J. H. Nicholson, Janesville, A. Crawford, Janesville, L. C. Smith, Oshkosh, Hugh Pound, Madison, L. C. Crissy, Janesville, J. W. Rohrabach, Milwaukee, G. A. Metcalf, Janesville, C. B. Kittredge, Waukegan, J. F. Gronach, Milwaukee, John J. Williams, Milwaukee. Anybody who traveled, ministers, or salesmen were received into the association, and membership cards issued with number and name. There was no constitution or bylaws. The Lord was to direct the work and pay the bills. There is little record of the first year's work, but the Lord prospered the newly founded association to His glory. Prior to the first annual convention, 600 members were enrolled, and at this first convention, there were 37 registered members present. The first national convention was held at Waukegan, Illinois, June 30th and July 1st, 1900. At this convention, rules and regulations were adopted. They covered membership qualifications, publications, election of officers, meetings, etc. The questions of playing cards and smoking in public places were discussed. At this convention, the following resolution was passed: that every hotel which Gideons patronize furnish a Holy Bible for the benefit of its patrons, a promise of what was to come. Those in attendance were astonished to note what the Lord had done, the rapid growth and the favorable reception of this new movement. They had helped to lay a solid foundation and went home praising God for it all. On September 29th and 30th, 1900, the Chicago Gideons formed the first local camp, and a wonderful evangelistic spirit was manifested, which led the camp to hold meetings in the churches. Constant calls came from pastors. As the organization had been formed for personal evangelism, the national officers and other Gideons protested against the presumptive form of evangelism. The question was widely discussed, and at the second convention at Madison, Wisconsin, it became a real battle over the propriety of a traveling man preaching in the churches. While a few of the Chicago Gideons seemed to have a gift for preaching, these programs consisted largely of personal testimonies, which it was hard to protest. A large delegation of Gideons came up from Chicago. However, the permission to hold these church services was granted, and a new step forward followed along this line. As other local camps were organized throughout the states, this feature of work spread. Another serious difficulty soon arose, however. The officers of the camps began to call out their members without notice to speak in public. They seemed to think a Gideon should be ready to speak anywhere and at any time. If not, he was not a real Christian. Many timid souls felt they could not do this. They never had, and under the persistent driving of leaders, dozens, if not hundreds, dropped out of the work. As they stated, for that reason, they were not public speakers. They didn't want to be embarrassed. In fact, many members seemed to have joined the association without fully understanding its purpose. A magazine known as the Gideon Quarterly was published. The first issue was Volume 1, Number 1, issued in September 1900. On October 11, 1901, the name was changed to The Gideon, but it was continued as a quarterly until September 1904. Since then, with few exceptions, it has been published monthly. The association is fortunate in having at Chicago headquarters bound copies of this magazine. The second national convention was held in Madison, Wisconsin in 1901, at which time the total membership was reported as 1,607. At this second national convention, a regular annual dues and an application fee of $1 was made a bylaw, and the secretary was allowed a $600 annual salary. The national officers had appointed an executive board consisting of 3 members to cooperate with them. This was afterward enlarged and called the Executive Committee. It included the presidents of the organized states and the superintendents of unorganized states. This committee was called to meet at Madison, Wisconsin, just before the second national convention, to propose changes in the rules and regulations. Important changes were recommended, but no change was made in the fundamental principle of the organization. The convention adopted what was then called a constitution and bylaws. The executive committee appointed 3 field superintendents at this time. They being chosen because of their ability, interest in the work, and because their business carried them over the entire United States, the record states. For the first 5 years, the national conventions met during the first week of July. For 1 year, the first week of October was the date, and then the present dates were decided upon, namely on the Friday afternoon and Saturday preceding the fourth Sunday in July, as per Article 4, Section 1 of the bylaws. At the Minneapolis, Minnesota Convention, September 29th to October 2nd, 1904, it was decided that all subsequent national conventions and are should be set apart for a memorial service for Gideons who had died during the previous year. The Gideon Circle was formed at the closing meeting of this Minneapolis convention, and it would seem appropriate to describe this tradition procedure as taken from page 89 of Songs of Gideon, 2nd edition, 1956. At the conclusion of Gideon meetings, rallies, and fellowship dinners, it is customary to form the Gideon Circle and sing 2 stanzas of the hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," just before the closing prayer. The procedure is as follows. The group stands to form the circle, joins hands, and sings the first and last stanzas of "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." During the singing of the next to the last line of the last stanza, "But we shall still be joined in heart," the joined hands are slowly raised to slightly above head level and are then slowly lowered during the singing of the last line, and hope to meet again. A prayer of benediction closes the meeting. A well-planned and executed Gideon Circle is most impressive. In closing this chapter, it seems fitting to include short biographical sketches of the 3 founders as originally appeared in the second issue of the Gideon Quarterly, under the heading "Our Officers." S. E. Hill was born in Hardwick, Vermont, in the year of 1867, in a small village of about 500 inhabitants, nestled down among the foothills of the Green Mountains. When he was 12 years of age, his parents moved to the West and settled in Belle Plaine, Iowa. During the 5 years of his life spent there, he completed his common school education, which was necessarily somewhat limited, and entered into his first mercantile work as a clerk in J. Nicholson Grocery Store at $3 per week. In the spring of 1855, he followed his parents to Chicago and soon entered the employment of Marshall Field & Co. as salesman, which position he held for 8 years. Wishing to better his condition, he decided to leave the dry goods business and in 1893 found an opening with the wholesale paint and glass firm of H. M. Hooker Co. of Chicago. Mr. Hill was married in 1898 to Miss Frances DeGore of Beloit, Wisconsin, one of the best known and respected young ladies of that city and a true Christian woman. Mr. and Mrs. Hill at once began housekeeping in Beloit, where they have since made their home. One little sunbeam has come to help cheer and brighten their lives and to be trained for eternity. She is called the first Gideon baby. Mr. Hill is a thorough believer in the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was converted during a series of revival meetings in Belle Plaine in the winter of 1833 at the age of 16, and at once united with the Methodist Episcopal Church of that place. In coming to Beloit to live, he felt that there was a need of workers in the Presbyterian Church, and he and his wife both united with the First Presbyterian Church there. Mr. Hill takes pride in the fact that he has never yet known the taste of intoxicating liquors or tobacco in any form, for which, however, he claims no credit to himself, as he says it is only the natural result of his early Christian training. Mr. Hill was chosen as the first president of the Gideons in 1899. John H. Nicholson, secretary of the Gideons, was born in Buffalo, New York, November 26, 1859. And when, but a lad, came west with his parents who settled in the city of Monroe, Wisconsin, where they have since resided. Mr. Nicholson was led to Jesus at the age of 13 by a devoted mother and father, and surrounded by home influences of Christian love, grew into manhood. When he came to Janesville, he married a devoted Christian girl, and they together have dedicated their lives and home and children to God, and by the help of those about them. Nick, as he is known by all on the territory which he travels, represents Brandner, Smith & Co., Chicago, papermakers having been in their employ for over 7 years. W.J. Knights, Janesville, Wisconsin, vice president of the Gideons, was born in Herkimer County, New York, in 1853, received a common school education, finishing at Whitesawn Seminary, followed various pursuits while in the East, such as farming, manufacturing, etc. Came to Wisconsin in 1877, clerked for C.S. Mart 5 years, was in business for himself 3 years, then had charge of grocery department in the Evansville Mercantile Association nearly 4 years. When he took up the grip representing John S. Gould & Co. of Chicago, Illinois, wholesale grocery house, in southern Wisconsin for several years. Brother Knights relates his experiences as to how he became a follower of Jesus as follows. I was converted at the age of 17. After being about 9 months in the employ of Joseph Pardee, a consecrated Christian gentleman. Though he seldom spoke of his religion, he lived it daily. Being stricken with typhoid fever and becoming aware of the doubts of my recovery, I for the first time realized that I was an awful sinner and begged mercy. God, hearing my cry, came quickly to my relief and graciously forgave my sins and wonderfully blessed my soul, then restored me to health. I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters, which I believe have all been saved. Praise his name, yours, in Hebrew chapter 13 verse 20 and 21. The author was privileged to know the 3 founders personally. He was honorary pallbearer and had a part in the funeral service for Samuel E. Hill, November 12, 1936 in Beloit, Wisconsin. He also had a part in the funeral service of John H. Nicholson in Beloit, Wisconsin, where he died October 26, 1956, with intermittent in a mausoleum in Rockford. Circumstances beyond his control made it impossible to attend the funeral service of William J. Knights in Wild Rose, Wisconsin on August 25, 1940.